modern psychology never understood the difference between suppression and sublimation. It's a very important topic. Therefore, the emergence of psychology by the very famous two psychologists who began to realize that most of people's mental problems and depressions and their excessiveness all was due to, or pervertedness was due to, suppression. And therefore they experimented with and said it should not be suppressed, it should be expressed. And in the 60s, you experience that the whole society in being proper, and then all those moralistic impositions by impractical religions, they would think, and therefore revolt, free, dam maro dam. They knew only the either out of fear, keep the senses under control. This is called as suppression. In suppression, those desires, those temptations keep lurking in the mind. And no sooner the external force, or we see nobody is watching, it blows off, and very often like a volcano. Even those who just blindly take to religion, spirituality, and then suddenly, and you find them all roaming around here. Because the whole West has got this fascination now for Buddhism. Then they come here to meditate and to wear all these, they even change their clothes, and they actually take up, and then I find them somewhere in California living with someone. No, after they've given up their robes, but and here they live for about 10-15 years. You suppress, then you go and they're from a monk to a hippie. Very similar, of course. That's what they think. If you see what happens, in the modern world, that people only either suppress or uncontrolled expression. Both does not help. Wild expression later on rebounds as guilt or further indulgence, where it becomes a addiction. While suppression does not give any form of joy. Is this what Krishna is recommending as a glorious way of living, to live in bliss? When such psychologists talk about sense control, they think that it is suppression. But there is a complete science of sublimation. And that is what now, this is very, very important words, mark it, the complete technique of sublimation of your desires are pointed out, not suppression of your desires.
Tani sarvani samyamya,
tani sarvani samyamya,
yukta asita matparah,
yukta asita matparah,
vashehi yasyendriyani,
vashehi yasyendriyani,
tasya prajna pratishthita.
Now when Krishna has pointed about the sense objects and senses that cause so much turbulence in your mind, this warning is not to frighten you. Whenever you see a danger sign or sharp curve, it's not for you to brake and stop. It is just for you to be cautious so that you safely reach your destination. Krishna is giving a warning here about sense objects, not for you to suppress, not to break yourself, but to be careful. And because you have this doubt that I've got all this knowledge is good, but I cannot practice it. Why you can't practice it? Because your mind gets distracted. And when you know, want the knowledge the most, like Karna, you don't have it. So therefore, keep these senses under your mastery, because your mind gets easily carried away and does not listen to your intellect, because immediately it gets turbulent, colored by the sense pleasures. Now Bhagavan is pointing out how. He says, first, tani sarvani samyamya. That all the senses must be under your mastery. Samyamya. Samyamya means very well. And sarvani. See, each word is important here. Sarvani, not all. There are some people, no. Swamiji, I have now become vegetarian. And still you said non-vegetarian jokes to your friends? So, one sense organ in fact controlled makes other sense organs more powerful, because the energy goes there. Therefore, you see, blind people are very good in music, because they are very good listeners. All five of them. Don't say, oh, I've given up tea. No, you may have given up tea and now you're watching TV. You give up TV, then all the time you want BV. Not Balvihar. So, you know how the mind works. Tani sarvani samyamya. How do I do it? Yukta. Is one word, yukta. Yukta means integrated. And what does that mean? Your mind integrated with your intellect is called as yukta. Yukta also means what was explained as buddhi yoga or karma yoga. I shall explain both ways. Now, when you withdraw your senses from sense objects, naturally there is a struggle. There is some form of control required and there is struggle. It becomes suppression when your mind naturally wants pleasure. So mind says, so for example, say something delicious has been kept in front of you. Now whatever it could be, lettuce, because everybody's mind now, that day I mentioned sambosa, sambosa, sambosa. So everybody's mind is on sambosa, sambosa, sambosa. And now internationally it's quite a famous delicacy. So sambosa means a triangle stuffed with spicy potatoes wrapped in a nice crispy sheet of flour, deep fried and absolutely yummy. When such a sambosa you even think about, or you see and you think about, immediately what happens? I want it, I want it, I want it. But your dietitian has said calories. Watch out for the calories. Now, when your mind wants it and your intellect says, I mean, it's okay, no one sambosa. No, after all, really speaking, we are on a diet whole day here actually. So, one sambosa. Your intellect also says, it's okay. It's okay. But then, your wife comes there and says, now wife is watching and you dare not disobey. You might disobey your intellect but not your wife. Therefore, such wives, keep them beside you. Why do you think Bhagavan has encouraged marriage? To straighten you. So, she's watching. Your mouth is watering. Your mind is saying, eat it. And your intellect says, it's okay. Just one is okay. But that one also, she is not going to allow you. And you know you eat it, which means 1 month. Till it's her birthday and you buy her a gift. You've had it. So you've had it. So you are, you can't. And she's not leaving your side. Till all, everybody else grabs the samosa and eat 2, 2, 3, 3 of them. And nothing is left. Then he goes there. No samosa. Samosas have gone away. But mine goes, samosa, samosas. Samosa, samosa. Samosa, samosa. And then your mother comes. She saw that everybody is eating the samosa. So in her sari pallav, she is hidden it. And when your wife is not watching, and not one, but two of them. And your wife is not watching. At that time she comes. Tells her, listen, go there, and can you do that? And she runs because mother-in-law, she can't disobey, you know. And very angry because she doesn't want to do what her mother-in-law tells her to do. Suppressing that. Because he's standing there. So she goes away. And that time when... wallop it down in one gulp and you choke. But you have to eat it before she comes back. But do you know that she has got such a good sense of smell? Who entered your room in the office, she can smell it at home. This is called as suppression. When your senses are attracted to sense object, your mind is carried away with it, and your intellect also says it is okay, but because of whether it is some moral values, whether it is social pressure, or whether it is your own guilt, you suppress it. It will one day blow out like an volcano. Mind will not be comfortable. It will be restless only. This is called as suppression. But when you, with your mind, withdraw from the senses and your intellect itself, your own intellect is giving the reason to you that no, it is not good for your health. It is not in line with your goal. You will lose out on your goal. And it is not healthy for you. Your own intellect gives. At first, it is maybe a little bit of pressure. But since your own intellect is advising your mind, and your mind is following your intellect, it eventually sublimates because you can see the benefit of it. See, this is called as yukta. The other way which I point out, how do you integrate? When you live a life of your duty, dedicated to the higher, your existing vasanas get exhausted and therefore keep your mind to your duty. The yukta, whose mind has learned to follow its intellect, and that mind has reigned the senses. Come back to the chariot example. When the discriminative intellect holds the reins of the mind and the reins hold the horses, then you can take the horses to your destination. But this intellect might keep on saying, no, it is not good for you. But you know how powerful mind is? But mind gets strength, and the weakness of mind is what? What is the weakness of the mind? Which also gives strength to the mind. You speak about love, right now also, your mind is going somewhere else because you're talking about the intellect. But the moment you say the word love, suddenly your mind attention comes, is it not? When your intellect is dedicated to a higher goal, and here Bhagwan introduces mat para, devoted, inspired. Devotion is not love. Love plus admiration, reverence becomes devotion. When your mind loves something that your intellect reveres, and that which your mind and intellect considers as the highest, see, the highest happiness, the highest love, the highest pleasure, the highest achievement, considers me, the infinite truth, the Lord, as the highest goal, and therefore devoted to that. How often it is that when a youngster is smoking, anybody tells him he enjoys smoking, he doesn't listen to his parents, he doesn't listen to anybody. Then when he is in love with or courting a girl and she tells him, no, you should give up smoking, I promise you, for your sake, I'll give up. And that very gullible woman goes to her daddy and says, you know, he's promised that he will give up smoking. If he doesn't give up before marriage, after marriage, so he's definitely not going to give up. But he's trying, he used to smoke 3 packets, but now he has read that smoking is injurious for health, so he is now smoking only 2.5 packet. See, he sacrificed that much for me. So she sacrifices her life for him. Afterwards, after marriage, the stress is so much that now he smokes 4.5 packets. Finally, even the doctor has told him that your lungs are full of tar. It is not good for you. You're already coughing. Soon it will become coughing blood. Told him all these things. She is screaming away, shouting at him, "Arre, you will die, you will die." He also knows now. He has seen this x-ray of his chest. Still, can he give up? But then gets a child who's got asthma. And for the love of the child, which will be bad for the child's health, and his health going bad will also be bad for the child, suddenly gives him an inspiration to stop. And how many people have just stopped like that? How many people coming to spirituality have given up their vices instantly? Because when there is dedication and devotion to the higher, then only the lower can be mastered. Yeah, what beautiful. Nothing is taught in the Gita which is impractical. Every following verse teaches you how to make it happen. Now you don't do it, that's your problem. Don't blame the knowledge. All this is knowledge, but where is the practice? Practice you have to do. Not that Krishna does it for you. He showed you also how to practice. Now you do and see the result. No? Vashehi yasya indriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. One whose senses are under his mastery, such a person's knowledge is thus steady. Such a person's realization is continuous. So therefore, Bhagwan, having explained the complete art of self-mastery. Now, when you use the word sense control, people are very allergic to that word. In books of spirituality, it is always there. In the books of devotion, it is always there. In the books of even success, examples from nations are given. It is essential. Sense control is essential. Now, whenever I gave discourses, I remember first time when I was in New Zealand, this group of all Westerners were so inspired that I was forced back to stay 2 days back and taken for a retreat. And I was doing a textbook like Tattva Bodh, and the word Dhamma came. And I spoke about sense control. And there were a couple of them, they went out of control. And as much as I explained the difference between suppression, suppression, so deeply rooted is that all this is suppression, 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 and suppression is not good for you. They went berserk. I come back to Australia, they are mostly Indian youth, and I'm speaking on the chariot of success. And there also, this word comes, Dhamma, sense control. Sometimes vocabulary has to be very important. There I explain, and there also I'm explaining to them what is suppression and what is sublimation. But they also went berserk. All questions, two things I tell you, you come up. One is sense control and the other is forgiveness. You open a Pandora's box of forgiveness. You open a Pandora's box of questions. Here also I am trying to explain to them how Krishna explained them, saying, why Krishna, your theory is not working. Either they are buddhus or you are wrong. And there was this Australian guy who was so keen to listen, but he had to look after when they run their retreat centers. They only have to manage, they only have to cook, they only have to clean. So he was cooking and he said, I want to hear. So some of our youngsters, they said, don't worry, we will keep for you a speaker, you can listen to Swamiji. So he was listening, and as much as I was explaining, he sent me one chit from behind. And I was wondering, in the middle of my talk, a chit is coming. He says, Swamiji, people are allergic to the word control. Try using sense management. So we are not talking about sense control. We are talking about intelligent sense management. Swamiji, you would have just used this word before. After that, we didn't need all this explanation. Now, what happens for a person who does not know how to manage his senses? And here is the famous ladder of fall.
Yayato vishayam punsaha.
Yayato vishayam punsaha.
Sangaste shupajayate.
Sangaste shupajayate.
Sangat sanjayate kamah.
Sangat sanjayate kamah.
Kamat krodho vijayate.
Kamat krodho vijayate.
Krodhat bhavati sammohah.
Smriti-vibhramah,
smriti-vibhramah,
smriti-vibhramshat-buddhi-nashah, Buddhi-nasha-pranashyati.
See, it is not that you saw a sense object, but every sense object does not create fascination in you. But dhyayato, when you meditate, which means you brood over a particular object, person, situation. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. When a person broods over sense objects, and how do we brood? How do we brood? Whenever we see a sense object, first there is superimposition of beauty, shoban adhyas. Then sukha adhyas. That it will give me happiness. And then it will remain always with me, giving me happiness. It will give me happiness at all times. And therefore, your mind then keeps on imagining about it and creates a certain attachment to it. Sangas teshu pajayate. And when that attachment, first you think about it, afterwards you can't stop thinking about it. It gets attached to you. And then soon you start thinking, I can't live without it. It becomes a desire. And desire, when it becomes an obsession that I must have it, that is called as lust or kamana. This is not only for a person, it is for any object also. And when lust arises in the mind, an obsessive desire to have it at all cost, if you get it, from that is born more desires or greed. And anything that comes as an obstacle to it, towards that, there is anger. So, where does anger rise? Kamat krodho bi jayate. See, at the moment it's just saying jayate, jayate. One is born. In birth there's some time. But once anger comes in, krodhat bhavati sammoha. The moment anger comes in, there is delusion. Delusion means we cannot see right from wrong. We don't see good from bad, from friend or enemy. You lose your, you get deluded means you start thinking that your friends are your enemy. Your well-wishers are your enemies. That person may be stopping for your good, but you get deluded totally because all you want is that object, and anyone or anybody who comes or anything that comes in between, we rebound on that as anger. And the moment anger enters, we lose our clarity of mind and therefore moha. Sammohat, and not moha, totally deluded, sammohat smriti vibrama. That when mind gets deluded, we lose our memory. Somebody who would have helped you all your life, sacrificed for you all your life, you forget that. And when you loss of memory, smriti bramshat buddhi nasha. Because your discriminative power works only with memory. How do I know that this sambosa is better or worse? Depending on the memory of the best sambosa I have tasted, or very often the first sambosa I had. So for those of you who have not had sambosa, yeah? I still remember my dharamsala sambosas. And everything is measured on that standard. And don't get tempted. You'll go there, God knows what tummy aches you will bring. So, yeah. But measured on that is your discrimination. Even your right and wrong, harmful, etc., good or bad, is dependent on your past memory. Buddhi nasha. And buddhi nashat pranashyati. When a man who loses his intellect, man without intellect, what is he? Don't insult animals. There's a saying, no? Mard bina mooch and pashu bina pooch. These days it doesn't apply. But a man without a mustache and an animal without a tail is a degrading sight according to those times. Even the animals feel insulted to have this tailless, intelligent, supposed to be intelligent being acting worse than unintelligent creatures. Pranashyati, falls. That is the disaster of only brooding over sense objects.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode by the Chinmaya Mission. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing. If you're looking for exceptional and detailed content on the Bhagavad Gita and how Lord Krishna's advice to Arjuna is relevant to the hurdles you face today, or understanding your mind, or explanations on Hindu scriptures in easy-to-understand English, the Chinmaya Mission YouTube channel is the place to be. All links are in the description.